little bit louder than my husband. I know he usually uses this microphone, so I don't know if it's ringing or not, but glory to God. Let's pray and let's get into it. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you, Jesus, for your word that's going to go forth this morning, that it does not come back to you void. I thank you, Jesus, that we will receive everything that we need to receive this morning from you, Father God. We open up our hearts and our minds to receive this morning by faith in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Let's go over to Matthew 6:31. Hallelujah. I hear a little bit of a ring. I don't know if that's... No, you guys are good. Okay. Matthew 6:31. All right. So last week, my husband started talking about take no thought. There was a lot of things that went on in there, and you probably received different things that the Holy Spirit was talking to you about, but it was mainly about worrying. So this morning, we are going to learn that we can be worry-free. Amen? So turn to your neighbor and say, you can be worry-free. Find someone else. Say, you can be worry-free. Find someone else. Say, you can be worry-free. All right, Jesus tells us. Jesus talks to us about this subject. So glory to God. We're just going to start right here, Matthew 6:31. Therefore, take no thought. And how do we take a thought? Saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? All right, hallelujah. I'm going to start off describing this word in the Greek, mariemo, which I cannot really speak Greek, so I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but it's M-E-R-I-M-N-A-O, mariemno, something like that, which means to be troubled, to be anxious, to be fretful, to be worried about something. In the New Testament times, the word was primarily used in connection with worrying about finances, hunger, some kind of basic provision of life. It's a picture of a person who is fretful about maybe paying their bills, a person who is worried that he won't have money to purchase food or clothing for his family, maybe a payment for a house or some kind of shelter or an apartment, we can say nowadays, or a person who is anxious about his ability to cope with the daily necessities of life. Who's been there? Who has been there? We have all had this come across us. We've all been in a place where we have worried or been tempted to worry. So let's back this up. Let's go to Matthew 6:25. And we're going to read what Jesus is telling us this morning. And I'm going to read this out of the King James Version. All right, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Right there, it's like, Lord, are you really take no thought for our life? I mean, that should be one of the highest thoughts that we have is taking thought for our life, right? But Jesus says, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Hallelujah. Let's keep on going down. And actually, if you do have a pen and your Bible open, you can underline, take no thought for your life. Now, verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And we can answer this and say, yes, hallelujah. Yes, we are. Let's go down to verse 27 here. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, he's saying that unto us this morning, right? And yet he's saying unto us here at Spirit Life Church, he's saying unto me, he's saying unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Glory to God. And let's go back over to verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, and you can underline that, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with all shall we be clothed? We can go down to 32. So, of course, we've underlined that one already. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, hallelujah, and his righteousness, glory to God. There is a right way of living, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And verse 34 this morning, hallelujah, take therefore no thought, let's underline that, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself, sufficient until the day is the evil thereof. So glory to God. There was four places that you should have underlined. Jesus told us four different times, take no thought. Amen. Take no thought. Take no thought. Those times that Jesus has said to us, this is not a suggestion. Amen. This is a command. Amen. So if God wants us to do this, if Jesus has told us, then there must be a way. Yeah. There must be a way that we can live our life worry-free. Amen. Now, some of us, it's going to take some exercise. It's going to take some challenges, because who knows? I mean, we all know that when worry comes, it comes in fast. You get a phone call, you talk to somebody, you talk to your boss, you talk to a family member, you talk to the doctor, whatever, and worry comes in so quickly. And at that point, we have a decision to make. Amen. And we can make the decision to not worry. Amen. All right, hallelujah. We can believe for that this morning. Amen. Let's see here. Okay, also, this is something that we will not be having a prayer line for specifically. We cannot pray your worry away, right? You can't do that. It's not biblical. Now, we can pray over situations to change, and we can pray over those kind of things, and we can stand in faith, and we can get scriptures on those things, but you cannot come up to the front and just, you know, pastors, pray for me so I don't worry. You can't do that. That's not how it goes. Because we have to exercise the fruit of the Spirit with self-control, right? And getting into the Word of God and applying it to our life and controlling those things that we think about. Amen? Let's go back to verse 26. And I like to see this, because sometimes, and I don't know why Christians, sometimes we have a tendency to do this part wrong. But it says, behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Yes, we are. Hallelujah. But this is something, if we were to go outside and try to look at birds, what they're going to do in the morning is they get up out of their little nest. They might shake their little feathers. They jump out of the nest. They go hunt for the worms for their day. Okay, why do we as Christians sometimes think that we can just be in our little nest and have our mouths open to heaven and, okay, God, feed me. I'm here, God, feed me. That's not how it works. That's not what God says to look at. That's not how we're supposed to be living our life. Amen. We're getting up out of our nest. We're going out for the day, and we're taking responsibility for the provision that God has given us. Amen. Amen. We put, and like we were talking about earlier, we put action to those things. We put action to what God has told us to do. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just making sure I'm not missing anything here. Yes, we take responsibility to the provision God has for us. Amen. We get up. We get out. We go get a job. We do things that we can set our hands to do so God can bless it. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So first off, there's a couple of things that we can do to overcome worry. One thing that we can do is we can worship. Hallelujah. We can worship. Glory to God. Worship is worry in reverse. Worship is worry in reverse. Worrying magnifies how big our problem is. How many have done that? We start with a little problem, it goes in our head, and it starts going around. We think about it some more, and we think about it some more, and now it's growing bigger, and now we're starting to really worry, and different things are happening, right? Worrying magnifies how big our problem is. Worship magnifies how big our God is. Hallelujah. We're putting God back where he needs to be, first and foremost, in our life. So worry magnifies how big the problem is, but worship magnifies how big our God is. So one way that we can overcome worry is with worship. Glory to God. Amen. It's funny, I heard this story with this minister. He had a speaking engagement in Iowa a few years back. His spouse was supposed to go with him until she found out that they would have to take a small flight on a twin-engine Cessna airplane to get to the engagement on time. Finding this out, the minister's wife said, "Sorry, I am not going to go with you on this one." Come to find out, the schedule soon changed, and he was able to take a major airline. Finding this out, she said, "Okay, well, I'm going to go with you now." He said, "Oh, did your faith grow?" She said, "No, the size of the airplane grew." Okay, so there's things. So is the size of our faith directly correlated with how we are sizing God? Is it? Is that how we are, you know, the way that we are sizing God? If we're putting God, you know, our problem's this big and our God is this big, how can this change God? You know, is that where our faith is? Or is our faith grounded in the Word of God?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. When we worship God, we start to magnify him. What does a magnifying glass do? It makes things look bigger. Somehow we make God small and our problems bigger because we're focusing and magnifying the problem instead of God. But how do we turn that around? We magnify God. Amen. We worship God, amen? When we worship, we take our focus off of us and we put it back on God. Glory amen. To God. Let's turn to Philippians 4:6. Amen. God is good. We can be worry-free. Amen?
Amen.
Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing. Can we do this in the New King James Version? Just real quick here. Be careful for nothing. The New King James Version says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. That's kind of like a popular word nowadays. I have anxiety. My anxiety. Woo. I would not claim that over my life. It's from hell. No, we will not be claiming that over our life. But we do have to do something about it. Amen. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But let's just look at that word anxious for a second. It's interesting. What is right? What is the letter right in the middle of that word anxious? I. I wonder if that's a clue. I wonder if that's a clue. The letter I is right in the middle of the word anxious. And I do believe that's a clue of what we need to look at. Amen. Now, when I'm talking about worry this morning, I'm talking about, well, I'm not talking about well-grounded concern. There are some things. We don't let our children play in a busy street, right? We tell our children, we teach our children. If they disobey, we discipline our children from those things that can hurt them. Amen. Because we are good parents, because we have a good God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But worry is something totally different. Worry is a thought that comes to our head. And let's take this same example. Well, what if my child plays in the street? Well, what if they get hit by a car? What if this happens? And what if that happens? And then all of a sudden I'm planning my child's funeral. Things like that. That's when that is not okay.
Amen. Yeah.
That's when there's fear that comes in. There is panic that comes in. There is emotions that rise up so quickly. And it's interesting how fast it can happen in your mind. One thing turns to another thing, turns to another thing. And that is not okay. And that is what Jesus is telling us that we need to stop doing. We need to eradicate that out of our life. We need to annihilate that kind of thinking from our brain. If we were to really see this, and Jesus were to be right in front of us right now, and him saying, do not worry, a command, do not worry, then what would we be doing? We would be doing everything in our power to figure out, how do I not worry? How can I not let worry into my life and into my mind ever again? And that's what we're figuring out, amen? So worship. So we are doing it with worship. Also, 2 Corinthians 10:5, let's look that up real quick. Hallelujah. Because there's some things that do pop in our head that we need to, how do we take care of those thoughts? You know, where's the line drawn in the sand between a legitimate concern compared to worry? When does it fall off the cliff into worry? Okay. For 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. There's another version, it's probably King James, casting down imaginations and every high thing. So when it starts, and it starts with a thought, amen, when it goes into your thought life, turns into this imagination, all of a sudden there's this genuine concern, and it starts going around and around and around in your mind into all these crazy imaginations of what could happen, what if this, what if that. That's where the line is drawn in the sand. That is when it turns into worry. And the Bible tells us to cast down imaginations and every high thing. So you say, Lord, that is not my thought, and I rebuke that in the mighty name of Jesus. And I take this thought into captivity in the name of Jesus and the obedience of Christ right now. And then you can speak things that are concerning that. So if it's protection, you get those scriptures out that are in Psalms 91, and you start praying protection over that situation that Satan just tried to put in your head. So that's how we take care of that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sometimes.
In the King James, the imagination means reason.
Ooh, in the King James, Pastor Ricky said the imaginations means reasonings. 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 Casting down reasonings. Amen. Glory to God. We can just go on that. Casting down reasonings, imaginations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5:7. Let's go there. Casting all your cares upon him. We just read casting down imaginations. Now we're reading in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Whoo, he careth for us. Casting all your cares upon him. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes it feels like we're throwing a boomerang. Lord, here's some worry. Here's some things that are happening in my life. And you're just casting that and casting it. And about 3 seconds later, it's right back to you. You're casting it, but it comes right back. What is going on? How do we stop that from happening? Well, let's look at verse 6. The Bible tells us, glory to God. This is why we love the Word of God. Humble yourself, therefore. Wow, isn't this interesting that this theme keeps on coming through of humbling, of this word anxious with this letter I smack dab right in the middle, right? So there's maybe something about us that we need to get right.
Amen.
Humble. Humble yourself.
Amen.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. This is the verse right before our next verse.
Yeah.
So this says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And let's read verse 7 one more time. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Glory to God. So there's something that we need to do. We need to humble ourselves. Glory to God.
Amen.
We need to put God back in first place of our life. It's interesting thinking about humbling ourselves, because it's not truly humbling yourself if you do it it takes some kind of sacrifice, some kind of maybe an unwillingness to humble ourselves, right? It's eradicating that pride out of our life. It's something that we don't necessarily do ourselves, even though we need to. It wouldn't truly be humbling ourselves if there was some kind of aspiration on our part. Hopefully that's coming across okay. But there is. There's this thing about humbling ourselves that we put ourselves aside and we do it because we are obedient and we love the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. There was a book that we had to once read under my mom and dad's ministry here at Spirit Life, and it was called Selfishness is the Root of All Anxiety. Does anybody else remember that book? You guys remember that book? Remember that book? Okay. And I don't know if you guys felt that way. I was not into that book. I just was not into that book, and I was really trying, and I didn't even know if I really agreed with the title of the book. Selfishness is the Root of All Anxiety? I mean, I read it, went through it, and it's interesting that now, and thank God for forerunners. Thank God for forerunners in our life, that they are up the mountain a little further than we are, amen? That they can look down to us and they can say, it's going to be okay. You don't have to worry. That they can say, know what? It's because you need to humble yourself, you know, and get some things right. And they're trying to tell us down the mountain and they can see things at a different view. And they're like, oh, this is the book that they need. Let's have the team read this book. But thank God they do, because give it a few years and here we are. We're figuring things out and we're at that point where we're seeing things also. And we're at that point, you know, telling the people around us like, oh, okay, well, let's do this. You don't have to worry, but you need to get some things right in your life. Amen. And glory to God. Hallelujah. So selfishness is the root of all anxiety. Woo. That's a strong word. That's a strong word. Are we trying to get some things figured out in our life with being anxious, with having anxiety? Is it truly rooted in selfishness? Well, what have we seen today? Humble yourself. Amen. Glory to God. Thank God for forerunners in our life. So why worry when we can worship? Amen?
Amen.
It's about what he can do for us. It's about when we magnify the Lord. Amen. When we worship the Lord instead of worry. Glory to God. Did you know that God created us to respond to music? Music can change an atmosphere. It's not just spiritually, it's naturally. Naturally, when someone plays music, naturally, when we are maybe, you know, watching some kind of mystery and the bad guy's behind this wall and the good guy's coming this way and the music behind is having this intense kind of feeling, that's natural. Naturally, God made us to respond to music. That's natural. There's a study that shows within seconds, our mind starts to react to what music or sound that we are hearing. Within seconds. Within seconds, our bodies that God has created reacts to the music that's around us.
Amen.
So can we also say, within seconds when we start to worship God, our situations Amen. Can change. And not only is it a natural, but when we're worshiping God with worship, there is anointing on that music. Hallelujah. And we can just get into a different state of mind. And this atmosphere can change when worry starts to flood our mind and our heart and our situation and our houses. We can turn on worship music and start worshiping and changing that atmosphere. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Philippians 4:6. Let's go there for a second. We've already went over it once, but this is interesting. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing. This word that's used as careful is the same word that we just read in Matthew 6, translated thought. Take no thought. Be careful for nothing. Hallelujah. The same word there is being used. But in every situation, in prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Let's go to the next verse, please. And the peace of God. The peace of God. The peace of God. Hallelujah. Not the peace of the world. The world doesn't have any peace. Not the peace of the world, but the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. There's something powerful when a situation comes in, when worry comes in, that it goes straight to our heart and our mind. And we need to have something to hang on to in those times. I was reading some commentaries, and I did write this in here. Hallelujah. The Greek word denotes that peace is superior, that it is held high above all other types of peace. This peace is a peace that transcends, outdoes, surpasses, excels, rises above, goes beyond, and over the top of any other kind of peace. Hallelujah. The implication is that people may try to find peace in other places, but there is no peace like the peace of God. The peace of God completely outshines every other attempt to produce peace because it stands in the category by itself. There is absolutely nothing in the world that can compare to the peace of God. Hallelujah. And if you've ever been in a situation where you needed peace and you felt that peace over your life, can we attest to that? Glory to God. Paul continues to tell us that this peace surpasses and excels above all understanding. Above all understanding. In the Greek, it concerns the mind. They translate that word the same. The word refers to the ability to think, to understand, to comprehend, to reason. It also depicts the mind of a source of all human emotion. The inner power of a person, thus the place of which a person rules and controls its environment. It emphasizes, depicts the mind as the central control center of a human being. Therefore, it is understood that the condition of the mind is what determines the condition of one's life. Paul tells us that this powerful peace that he's talking about, what it will produce in a life, he says, shall keep our heart and minds. Glory to God. The word keep, right here in this scripture, is a military term that expresses the idea of soldiers who stand faithfully at their post of a city gate to guard and to control all that goes in and out of a city. They serve as gate monitors and one who enters and exits the city with approval. The Apostle Paul explicitly tells us that God's peace, if allowed to work in our lives, will stand at the gate of our heart. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what peace does. That's what this peace that passes all understanding does. Stands at the gates of our heart and our mind. Sometimes it is just a mind game trying to keep this under and trying to keep your thoughts on something other than what's happening in your life right then. Acting like a guard to control and monitor everything that tries to enter our hearts, minds, and emotion. When God's peace is ruling us, nothing can get past the divine guard, hallelujah, that is standing in front of that gate, hallelujah. Amen. That is good news for us, hallelujah. Yeah, so we could read this way. And the peace of God, a peace so wonderful that it cannot be comprehended to any other type of peace, a peace that stands in a category by itself and rises above and beyond anything the human mind could ever think, reason, imagine, or produce by itself, hallelujah, will stand at the entrance of our heart and our mind, working like a guard, working like a military guard to control, monitor, screen everything that tries to access our mind and our heart and our emotions. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's what that scripture means. Hallelujah. Nothing compares to that powerful peace. Hallelujah. We can be worry-free. Amen. We can be worry-free. We can live a life without having to worry about things. We take things as a genuine concern. We pray about those things. We get the word of God on those things. We control our mind about those things. We put the word out concerning those things, but we will not worry over those things. Hallelujah. There's going to be plenty of opportunity, but that means there is plenty of opportunity to overcome. Amen. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for this word concerning worry, that we take it and we take it into the obedience of the knowledge of Jesus Christ and according to his word. And Lord, I know that you are even speaking to the people in this room right now concerning things that they might have an opportunity to worry about. And Lord, we bring those things up to you right now. So search your heart, church. If there are things concerning your life that you have had to really battle with the idea of worrying over these things, Lord, that we see those things right now as truly as worry, as anxiety, trying to come into our lives and our minds and our hearts and our emotions and wreak havoc, and we will not have it any longer in the name of Jesus. We take that into subjection of Jesus Christ. We cast down those things. We cast out those things in the name of Jesus. But there's one thing that we need to do first and foremost. We have to put Jesus Christ first in our life. Do you know Jesus as Lord? Have we really put Jesus, Lord of our life? Do you know Jesus as Lord? If you do not know Jesus as Lord, raise your hand. We will introduce you to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the peace that passes all understanding that we've talked about today. If that is you, please raise your hand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.